How can we better love those who have been convicted and imprisoned? Also, what are we missing if we don't? Welcome to the Beyond the Lines podcast. In a world where there are a few loud voices spreading division and hatred, we want you to know that there are more of us who want unity and love. We are a part of a community of people who love despite differences and listen to the stories of those who have been marginalized. We love beyond the lines of differences so that our lives can be full of diversity. We listen because we believe in human dignity for all people. Come and listen with us and join a movement of people who are willing to love all people at all times. Today on the podcast, we have an incredible guest in David Pryan. David, in his past, has been convicted and imprisoned, but he is a shining example of how any person can turn their life around. Today, we're going to hear the crazy story of how David first got convicted, and we're also going to talk about the major challenges ex-convicts face when they get out of prison, and highlight the benefits of educating prisoners while they wait to be released. We are also going to learn why we are all missing out when we trust the stereotypes of those who have been convicted, rather than hearing the stories and giving them a chance. You're going to be able to hear all of that and more in today's episode of Beyond the Lines, and I can't wait for you to learn and listen with us. Oh, and one last thing. In telling some of his story, David uses a few minor curse words. We left them in because it fits the stories he's telling, but we did want to warn you in case you have children with you while listening. With that, one note out of the way, I just can't wait for you to learn from David's story and experience. All right, my name is Jonathan Miller, and I am your designated listener today. And on the podcast, we also have Clayton Edelman, who's also our co-listener,
Hello.
Designated listener guy.
Yeah, good to see you and be with everyone.
Yeah. Digitally. Welcome. I mean, how has your day been going?
It's good. You know, morning just started, coffee's here, good company, and just excited for a good conversation. So, yeah.
Cool.
Can't complain.
Awesome. Glad to hear it. And also on the podcast today, we have an incredible person. You've already heard about his name and all that stuff in the intro. His name is David Pryan. Welcome. Did I say it right?
You did.
Awesome.
Yes.
I mispronounced your name earlier today and you're like, no.
It's commonly mispronounced, but yeah.
It's good to know.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Yeah.
Yeah. Just the date that this episode's going out, I think, on January 5th, but we're recording this before Christmas. Do you have any fun Christmas plans?
You know, we're just going to do the family thing at home. And yeah. I think we have next weekend, we have one get together with family, and then on Christmas, it's our tradition is, you know, the kids, well, you know, the kids are all growing up now, but we like to open up a gift on Christmas Eve and then the rest on Christmas Day. So we haven't really planned that far ahead.
Yeah.
I guess we're just going to play it by ear. Yeah. Fortunately, we have a granddaughter, and so that'll be the majority of the gifts. And
yeah,
you know, kids get older. They just want one major electronic or one major gift, right? Not a bunch of little things. So
yeah. Definitely. Well, that sounds fun. And sometimes that's the best way to live is to just live it by ear and see what happens next. Yep. Cool. Well, David is an incredibly talented marketing and SEO expert, and he runs his own marketing and web design business called Inspired Marketing, correct?
So a website design business is Inspired Marketing and Design, and then the SEO business is Hybrid SEO Marketing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So different businesses, but...
Yeah, I kind of separated them because of some of the strategies I started implementing kind of deserved its own platform, right?
Yeah.
And I call it a hybrid SEO strategy, but I didn't realize you're going to give me a chance to plug the business. Hey, look it up, hybridseomarketing.com.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, learn more about it.
Yeah, you're on here for free, so I got to give you something.
Right on.
It's for sponsorship on the podcast, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. No, it's not a sponsorship unless you give me money.
That's right.
So okay. Specifically me.
All right.
You have to give me money.
if I land any clients from it, which I'm not really looking to do, but I'll give you a commission.
Yeah. That's awesome. Something I love about you, David, is that your heart, your passion, what you do, you're just such a genuine person. And you are, in fact, inspiring. So I love your business name, Inspired Marketing. But you started and had a rough start earlier in life, and you got convicted and imprisoned early in life. And your story since then hasn't been an easy one. But I know there's so much that we can learn from that story and from your past experience, which is why I've invited you here today on the podcast so we can we can listen to some of it if I can talk. So thank you so much for being here and being willing to share that part of your story. I don't know how easy or hard it is for you. You know, it could be anywhere in between, I'm sure, and we might be able to hear about mm-hmm. that today to share. But I think it's so valuable for us to learn more about those who have had the experience of being incarcerated and being convicted and what it's like to come out of that and all of that. So first, can you just share what kind of led up to your conviction and imprisonment?
Sure. So, you know, which one, right? Where do we start?
Yeah.
You know, there was numerous, but the, I guess I got the ball rolling, you could say, when I was 18 and I got a felony charge for a beer run. And so, and I think this matters, not that it's an excuse, but you'll find that a lot of the people that are in prison usually came from a difficult past, difficult childhood. And, you know, and once again, it's not using that as an excuse, but I think it matters. And I think because they, you know, once they make it in prison and they get that label, regardless of what led them there, all of a sudden becomes irrelevant, right? The only thing that's relevant is the fact that you have a felony and that you're a convict.
Yeah.
And so, and you know, I know that's part of this podcast today is maybe shed some light on that and kind of, you know, reveal how, you know, kind of false that is, right? Mm. So I've been on my own since I was 15. And by on my own, I mean in foster care and group homes and on the run. So I was never one to stay for more than a couple days.
Yeah.
And just always wanted to make it on my own. Had a, you know, I wasn't trying to really find parents or anything like that. I just wanted to do my own thing. But with that and without support, you know, you'd have to do what you had to do to kind of survive. And ironically, I didn't pick up any charges during that time. It wasn't until I was 18. And what I mean by ironically was it was because I was a ward of the state. You know, I think they didn't want to have that kind of, it maybe made them look bad, right?
Oh.
So I got away with a lot more when I was younger than when I turned 18, right? So I think I was used to getting away with stuff. And I didn't get away with that beer run. And it got a little exaggerated, but we won't get into that. So I was on, back then it was called a deferred sentence, not to give my age away too much, but this was, you know, oh, well, I guess I will, 88. you know, so... So I was out on probation, but it was a deferred sentence, which meant I had been sentenced. And if the probation was not even if the probation was violated, if my probation officer just decided, you know what, I think you need to go do that time, I had to go do that time. And I met a friend, we'll use that term friend. and he was in a similar situation. And so, you know, we didn't want to go do that time, and it was always over our heads, so we decided to take off to Washington State. Sounded like a great idea at the time. He had a brother out there, was going to put us up, had jobs, had new identities, right?
Wow.
Oh, yeah. It was great, you know, on paper. none of this ended up becoming, you know, what he said it was. So, stole the truck. We got out there. Like I said, it wasn't everything he said. He was welcomed, but I was always kind of the third wheel, you know, but I'm out there now trying to do my thing. And, we had a major dispute, you know, this dude was crazy. Like we got in a couple fights, but we had a major dispute that really split us apart and really put a lot of tension on this whole stay. And of course it was over a girl like me, and he wanted her to like him and blah, you know, that's usually the story. So, one night, and this is where it all started. One night, he's, you know, he'd been drinking. And like I said, this dude was a little bit crazy. So he comes out in a trench coat, shoving shells in the pocket with a sawed-off shotgun. And I'm not going to use the words he exactly used, but basically, F everyone here, I'm going to go make some money. And he took off out the door. And, knowing this dude, I knew he wasn't jiving, you know? And so what should have happened was his brother should have been the one to go after him. Like I said, me and him weren't getting along. His brother, kind of scary guy, sent me out to go after him. And I was like, come on, man, that's not going to end well. He's going to shoot me, you know? Mm. For whatever reason, I felt obligated. maybe because we were road dogs. And I went after him, and I caught up to him. And he was in front of a, it's called a BP store, but they're like Circle K's in Washington. I think they're called BP. And there's a big window, and he's out there with the shotgun. He's contemplating. I come up behind him, and I'm like, hey, hold on a second. Let's talk this out. He looked at me, and he turns around, and I'm looking over his shoulder, and the clerk looks out this big window, and you can see this recognition on the clerk's face. He sees a shotgun. He's not trying to hide it. He's just holding the shotgun now. He's got a trench coat. I mean, he's looking shady. And I see the clerk pick up the phone, and I'm like, dude, we got to go. That clerk just picked up the phone. You know he's calling the cops. And he looked at me in the eyes, and he said, not today, he's not. And he turned around, and he blew this clerk away right in front of my face.
Wow.
Right there as we're standing out there, glass and everything. And I could just see it. And then just like in the movies, everything went slow motion. So the next thing I remember, and literally the next thing I remember, we're in the back of a car, and we have a bunch of laundry over us, and his brother and his brother's wife were driving out. I mean, there's helicopters everywhere. There's sirens. Of course we got caught, right? And there we go. My first murder charge. Well, my only murder charge. So we got charged with murder. And that's how my story began. Fortunately, the guy didn't die. And so it got dropped to attempted murder. And then his brother and his brother's wife and the girl I was seeing at the time, all it gave testimonies to the police that I had gone after him to bring him back and try to talk some sense into him. And that is honestly what saved me. You know, so the charge I ended up getting, which gave me 14 months at McNeil Island, wasn't the attempted murder, but it was, you know, I can't remember the name of it, but it's basically a charge you get if you don't snitch on someone, right? I wasn't going to testify against him. I just wasn't my style, and it's not a good way to start your prison sentence with that kind of label. Either way, I was going to prison. It wasn't like, either way, I would have made the same decision. It just wasn't me. But so I got charged, I mean, I can't remember. But anyway, I got 14 months and a felony.
That's a crazy story.
It is crazy. Like, now that I re-say it and now that I rethink it, because I don't think about it, but now that we're sitting here talking about it and all those visions came back into my mind, it's like, yeah. So that was the start. And then,
Yeah. Was that the first time, like, you went to prison? Was that the last time, or was there other ones that you're in for longer?
So with that one, it was serious. So this was what was crazy. First time in prison, I get sentenced to McNeil Island. McNeil Island was the first Alcatraz, right? McNeil Island was in, like, the late 1800s they built this prison. I mean, it is foreboding. You are on a ferry boat going out to an island, and you just see this old walls, and then, you know, you get your cell, and it's like a real cell with the big old clank, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, big old dudes. I'm, like I said, at this time, I think I was 19 or 20. I think I was 20, you know. And, you know, I grew up loving rock and roll and metal, you know what I mean? So I had long-ass hair, you know, and, you know, kind of a pretty boy, I guess you could say. Didn't want to be like this when going into prison, but you know, but I wasn't no punk either, so I had to stand up for myself a couple times, and once you do that a few times, then you're good, you know. But it was, yeah, I'll be honest, it was scary. And then what brought me back to Arizona was that beer run. I got more time for that beer run than I did this.
Wow.
And also what was interesting, and I don't know how this is even relevant, but I remember, you know, everyone asked, hey, when you get out, when you getting out, you know? And I'm like, well, I don't exactly get out, but I have a restraint, or what is it called, you know, or page two or whatever, waiting for me when I get out, and I got to go back to Arizona. And I remember we're at McNeil Island. Like, this is a tough prison. And I remember dudes looking at me going, dang, you got to go to Florence? I was like, whoa, what do you mean? Why? What's up with Florence? You know? what? What'd you hear? You know? And so Florence has quite the reputation. And Arizona prisons are a lot different than Washington prisons. I could see where it earned its reputation. But by then, I was already a convict. You know what I mean? So by the time I made it to Arizona, you know, I knew how to handle myself. I knew how to carry myself. And I already had a little bit of reputation, so it wasn't as bad as initially going to McNeil Island, right? It was a whole different experience. Mm-hmm. And then, got out, and every time I got out equipped the same way I had gone in, which was not equipped to make it in life, you know? Mm-hmm. I only had the same skills that I ever had, stealing and pulling scams and whatever I could do to survive. And so that's what I knew. That's what I did. And make it for a while and go back in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You said the prison in Washington was different than the prison in Arizona. And you even said you didn't want to go in with a label of having a snitch or something. Mm-hmm. And so my mind just thinks about like TV shows or movies we've seen. Was that, is what we see like on TV accurate to your experience? Or, I mean, what was it really like living in prison?
So back then a little bit more, right? It's changed a lot. Back then, especially at McNeil Island, like there, you know, you would hear about things like rape and stuff. And I remember this dude approached me one time, and he didn't necessarily say that, but in not so many words, you know, basically like he was going to make me his bitch or whatever it was. And I don't remember the fight, but I remember after, no one messed with me again. And it's not because I'm a badass, but it's because you'd be surprised what fear can do. Mm. It gave me adrenaline and power I didn't know I had. And like I said, it kind of paid off because later on that was like a reputation that got me through in a way. You know, it kept me safe, I guess you could say. What really matters is the last time that I was in and the changes that happened then and the path that set, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Yeah, tell us about that. How did your story change while you're in prison? How did you get to where you are today with your own businesses and a reputable person and helping a church and all those great things?
Right. Complete. Well, let's be clear. You know, it was accepting Jesus. I know this isn't specifically as a podcast for a testimony, but I want to put that out there. I've tried everything else. I tried all the AAs, all the NA meetings and everything. And you guys remember, you were part of the testimony we've done before, right? And so that was what started. But let's go into the things that I think everyone should know that makes a difference, including the Department of Corrections, because this was practical and real stuff. And what it was these classes that were being offered there. And so there was a few things. There was a computer class, right? And so you got to learn, for one, computers and Excel and Word. And then there was another class that had to take them apart and put them together. And they were kind of beta programs when they were first doing this. And I'm so glad they did it because, as you said, I'm successful today, right? I'm successful in a lot of ways. I'm successful because I'm happy, you know? I'm financially good. You know what I mean? I'm not rich, but I'm doing fine. My bills are paid and everything. And all that had a lot to do with, like I said before, all the other times I got out, I was ill-equipped, right? And this time I got out, I was equipped and I was motivated. And I knew I had a better chance now because I had a skill. I had something I could use to support myself. And so I took all of what I had learned in there. And it was almost, and it was actually some college credits too, right?
Yeah.
It was basically an associate's degree.
That's what I was going to ask, yeah.
Yeah. And so, I can't point that out enough because, I don't think the prisons have enough statistics on the difference that providing inmates with these kind of opportunities and schooling makes. And the effect it would have on the recidivism rates, right? Because there was me and there was a bunch of people, but I had five really good friends, and we were all in the computer class program and kind of went through all that together. Four of them I'm still in touch with, great friends to this day. All four of them have not gone back to prison. All four of them are successful right now. One has his own business, you know, like me. And so I have to say that, yeah, that did make a difference. Was it enough to kind of change the stereotype when I was looking for a job? Unfortunately, not. Mm-hmm. Not even the bachelor's degree was. So when I got out, I knew that I had a little, but I knew it wasn't going to be enough. And so I had a plan. My plan was, well, I'm going to take this, turn it into a bachelor's degree. And then logically, you know, I can't get rid of the felony. That's going to be there, right? Mm-hmm. Felonies, let's be clear. I can't, you know, those are going to be there. But maybe like a balance, I can counterbalance those with a bachelor's degree. So I got into DeVry, and my wife, love her, she was able to kind of support us through it. And I got some grants and stuff like that too, so helped us get through it. So I just hammered out this bachelor's degree. I set my goals high. I was going to, you know, I figured, okay, I'm going to try to get straight A's. That way, even if I fall a little bit short, I get A's and B's, you know? And I don't know, I pulled off straight A's. I graduated summa cum laude, right? I'm not the smartest dude in the world. I mean, I'm intelligent. I'm not stupid. But that was just perseverance and hard work. Let's be clear. Yeah. So I got that, and I'm like, okay, now I have counterbalances. Not only on my resume do I have a bachelor's degree, I have a summa cum laude. I was part of the Alpha Chi Society, which takes in like whatever, you know, 3% of the top graduating students. You know, I mean, I had like some credentials now, right? Mm-hmm. I had a internship, and this is how I got into SEO. And maybe we could talk about that a little bit more too. It's pretty interesting, but that got me stuck on it. I love it. But I had an internship that was very successful with a friend of mine. So I had that on my resume. Mm-hmm. So I had not only an education, but I had some results to prove myself too. All right, let's go, right? You know what I mean? 6 job interviews, all 6 of them I went to, I got the job. Like the person interviewing me was excited to hire me. You know what I mean? They went off great. Like, you know, for DeVry has a really good career development class in the end too. So I got to give them a little bit of credit. They really get you trained up on how to do interviews, help you make your resumes and everything. Yeah. Really beneficial. That was super beneficial. So DeVry, if you're listening, put more focus on that. That helped a lot.
So many plugs today.
Yeah, I know, right? So can't help it, man. I'm a marketer.
Yeah.
So
It's true.
It just comes naturally now.
Yeah. Can't help you.
Yeah.
They're not even paying you, are you?
Yeah.
They need to be.
Yeah, they should. So maybe we can cancel that student debt.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I need help with that too.
Yeah. So, but unfortunately, the people that I was interviewing with weren't the last decision, right? It went up to the next, whoever, the hiring department. All 6 times I got denied because of the felonies. Mm. All of this, you know, fantastic looking resume, you know, that was awesome during the interview and in the initial process, did not counterbalance like I wanted those felonies. Mm. And I thought that was so ridiculous. I mean, I'm glad now because that caused me to start my own business. I was like, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I got to do my own thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I got in. Here's another plug, you know, Jason, Phoenix Online Media, you know, he had a, it was funny, it was a Craigslist ad. It was straight up a Craigslist ad. And like I said, I had some success with SEO. I had a friend, Casey Crum, and just get them all out, you know what I mean? Yeah, AZ Rock Express, okay, that's enough. But he gave me the opportunity. Well, his way of saying it was, why don't you bring some of that expensive education you're doing over here and help us get some phone calls with this rock business? I was like, all right, let's do it. All right, so my passion's always been art, right? Web design was really what I wanted to do. And that's what I still do today. And that's my favorite thing probably that I do. I've tattooed my whole life. I put that to the side, too many triggers and stuff. But art has always been really an integral part of me, and I just love doing it. So web design was a natural transition, right? And then SEO came because, yeah, web design's great. You'll make some money, but when you start making businesses money, then you make money. Mm. So that's how I got into SEO. But anyway, I went to that little rock company. I didn't use a whole lot of my education because at this time they didn't have enough information, I guess, to put classes together with search engine optimization. But we got Google. And all you got to do is search the right things. And so I started searching stuff. And I remember that first week at this little rock company, phone didn't ring, you know, a couple of referrals. And we started setting everything up, doing citations, doing SEO on the website, rebuilding it, you know, setting H1 tags, all that stuff. And and this was back when, you know, it was just beginning, so it wasn't like a lot of competition either. And by week three, week four, that phone would not stop ringing. We would be on a call taking an order, and there would be someone else calling in. We'd be like, 1 second, please. And it was just like that every day, every day. And then that was it. I caught the bug. I was like, what? That's what this can do? Ooh, that's powerful. I like that.
Yeah.
And so I was stuck. Yeah. So since then, that's been my course. And
I love how you went from this place of coming out of incarceration and not having any skills beyond kind of what you said, like beyond what you already had when you went in, which was like what the system taught you, what your life had taught you, which is I need to survive, which how do I survive is to steal because I don't have any other skills. And so I love how you went from there to I've gained some new skills. And now I don't have to go back to those old ones. It's it doesn't sound like you ever really wanted to utilize those old skills of steel, but that's all you had. Those all the tools you had. You know, if you are trying to fix a microwave and all you have is a hammer,
right?
That's all you got. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm going to try to fix the microwave with a hammer. And I guess if you're like like a super genius, maybe you can do it. I don't know, engineering genius, but the likelihood is very, very low. But I love how then you were able to get some skills, and it's amazing to see that beta programs like that that you experienced in that prison that were able to get college credit and start to get these skills now gave you a new path to walk down where, like, I don't have to go back to those old skills. And was there ever a moment like when, and I don't know if there was, but when you're like being, you had these new skills and you're trying to get a job and you got the bachelor and you have, you know, a 4.0, but you're being denied jobs. Was there ever a point where you're like, well, maybe I have to go back because like nobody's going to accept me with this new thing? Was that, did that ever cross your mind? Obviously you didn't, but.
Not this time, you know? Yeah. And like I said, my faith had a lot to do with that. I was going to stay true to that, you know? So I was going to settle and for something, you know, that paid less. And, you know, I mean, I was looking at, oh God, maybe it's gotta be Walmart, you know, maybe it's gotta be, you know, something like that, you know, nothing against Walmart, but it wasn't, you know, it didn't match my aspirations and my goals, you know,
right?
Like, that's what I was trying to do. I wasn't just trying to make it. I was trying to succeed. You know, there's a difference.
Yeah.
And so I didn't get that, but was it getting frustrating? Oh, of course it was getting frustrating. But in the end, I was going to the last couple interviews already knowing what was going to happen. And it's funny because I wasn't stressed on them. I was just having fun now. And by fun, I mean, I was laughing about the situation because it was so ridiculous to me. It was just so ridiculous to me. I was like I was looking at it from outside of me. As in, if I was interviewing this guy who had turned his life around this much, was able to get a bachelor's degree, was able to graduate at this level, you know what I mean? Was able to conduct himself during this interview as he does, you know, and then still not get hired. Like, you know, we don't believe in second chances here, you know? And so, and what it was it wasn't that the guy in the interview didn't believe in second chances. It was the structure of the company and the structure of the corporate
policies
and stuff didn't have any leeway for that.
Interesting. So there's like some policy issues where it's like our hands are tied. We believe that you're turned around, but because this policy is in place, that you have no chance here.
Exactly. Exactly.
Interesting. Getting kind of out of the like corporate world and jobs and stuff. I'm curious also, like, do you ever run into, like, misconceptions, just what generally interacting with people on a daily life when they hear, like, oh, you were in prison. Do you feel like, have you ever seen, like, them change in how they treat you? Or, like, is that something you have to deal with on a daily basis? Or I don't know.
Look at the risk I'm taking right now.
Oh, okay.
You know? So there's going to be lots of people out there that, and not to brag, I'm one of the best at what I do. You know, that's why all my clients are happy. That's why I'm succeeding. I've been doing this for a long time. But there's going to be people watching this podcast who maybe have small businesses who are still going to be leery after all this time. I've been out of prison now for 10 years, right? I actually have 3 companies working on a 4th, but we won't get into that. But But all that won't matter because of some predetermined preconceptions, and just because, you know, I mean, it's not even everyone's fault. It's kind of how they're brought up.
Yeah.
It's kind of how society has labeled it, and it's kind of how, and unfortunately, let's be honest, it's kind of how many prisoners and or convicts or whatever in the past, bad apples, if you will, you know what they say, one bad apple ruined the whole basket.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, there's that too. So, I mean, it's understandable in that case. But if you sit there and take a look at the person, and once again, I'm going to go back to me as an example, and I'm not saying I was like on the far side, but I'm talking about just anyone who's trying to make it is already a sign that they care and should be given a chance, right? Some of the smartest people, some of the most creative people, ingenuitive people, you know what I mean? In prison. I mean, there's you have some of the population who, let's be real, deserves to be there, right? So let's not defund the police. But then you have a bigger part of the population, I believe, you know, that got caught up and made a couple of bad decisions. And there's a lot of people in there that made one bad decision, and that's all it took.
Yeah.
That's all it took. They never had a chance to even, you know, rectify it or whatever. So,
right. So this isn't one of the questions we kind of talked about, but I'm seeing, you know, all these misconceptions. People maybe have an idea of you, and that causes them to take a step back from you and not kind of engage or pursue a job opportunity with you. But you serve in a ministry at our church as well called the Acts Ministry, which for those who maybe don't know is a ministry that loves on the homeless community in our area. Have there been scenarios where you've gotten to share your story with people who are there who are homeless or maybe have been through prison as well, and you share your story, and rather than maybe they had a misconception of you beforehand, like, oh, this guy's just like, he's here, he's helping out. But now that they know, like, oh, he's got some street cred maybe, or have there been scenarios like that where you've shared your story maybe and people have kind of leaned into it some more after doing that?
So, and I'm glad you mentioned the Acts Homeless Ministry, as long as we're plugging.
Yeah, that's a good one.
yeah. And Central Christian Church. So, no, I love the Acts Homeless Ministry, and I can relate to these guys, right, big time. And there's another perfect example of a lot of people that are just going through bad times who are also getting stereotyped, you know, like a ex-con or whatever, and they're not really given the opportunities either, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what the whole Acts Ministry is about. There's not enough time in this podcast and 10 more to tell you all the cool stories of people that have been helped out at the Acts Ministry and have gone on to make it. They were just in a bad spot in a bad time.
Sounds like we need another podcast with you. Maybe one of your friends that we can.
I'm down with that. We can talk about the Acts Homeless Ministry, and I can actually reach out to a couple of these cats who are doing good right now, and I think that would be an awesome idea.
Cool idea.
Yeah. So, but in to answer your question, you know, it's the Acts Ministry is. You know, it's supported partly by Central Christian Church, of course, right? And so all the volunteers there, well, no, not all the volunteers, many of the volunteers, there's also volunteers there that aren't even part of Central Christian Church, or some volunteers there that aren't even part of a church. It doesn't matter. They just have a heart to give and help. But those people with that heart have never judged me. And I don't think there's anyone there that doesn't know my story that I work with and the volunteers, right? And honestly, my story and my past having... like I've said in the past, been where these dudes are has helped me with the Acts Ministry big time. And so, you know, cause you can, a lot of these guys, you know, that go there have also been in prison. Right. Yeah. And so that's how they ended up homeless as well. Getting out once again, ill-equipped. And so what happens, you know, they end up not being able to make it. And these are the guys who actually are trying to make it. They're trying not to steal. They're trying not to commit crimes to the point where they're swallowing their pride so much to try to make it that they're going to a place to get handouts, basically, right? Now, we're way more than that, way more than that. But if you were to boil it down from someone that didn't know everything about the Acts Ministry, that's basically, you know, that's the kind of commitment that some of these people have to not going back and trying to make it. And yet, once again, you know, it's an uphill battle, and mm-hmm. you know, what are they supposed to do?
That's such good perspective, and I think it's something we all need to be pondering mm-hmm. as we kind of see people without homes on the street, as we meet people who have been imprisoned at some point or convicted, to start slowing down our story that we're making up in our head, right? Because we don't know people's story immediately. Like, oh, you've been in prison. We make up a story, right? Like, you know, or even if you like hear like, oh, in my first account, like thing had to do with murder. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, people might freak, but that wasn't you. That's just what the, you know, the trial was for. That's what happened. You know, you were in proximity, you know, to all this. Not running with the right crowd, all those things. I think that's a story that I hear all the time when I'm talking to people who've been in prison or something. It's like, I was just in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't running with the best people. I'll give you that. But I didn't, you know, like, mm-hmm. What are some things that listeners can take home today from this podcast so that they might be able to better love those who have been incarcerated in their past? You know, what are some things that we can do to better love people who have been through that, and be different than what society tells us to do?
I think you hit it right on the nose. There's more to the story, right? Learn about this person's story, you know? And then here's the other thing. You're not perfect either. You know what I mean? So really, if you think back, there's probably times where you could have ended up in prison or jail or with a misdemeanor or a felony. I mean, you know, and so when we're able to kind of humble ourselves and accept the fact that, you know what, I'm not perfect either. And then kind of understand, like I just said, that there's more to the story. You get to learn, you know, learn more about the person and stuff. I mean, it comes down to, like you said, a lot of times it was either one bad decision, maybe a series of bad decisions, or a drug problem, right? That's the main thing. But then there's also a lot of people who just have, and this is hard for people to understand, right? But mental health issues, right? And I know our church isn't afraid to speak about that, which is amazing. So, but imagine, you know, if something's not working right, it's probably not going to accomplish what its desired result is, right? And so if someone's brain isn't working right because of mental health issues, that may be no fault of their own at all, right? Then they're not able to, you know, be productive or whatever, or sometimes even think out how to make it or whatever the case, right? I mean, it's hard to get into, you know, these people's heads, but if you sit there for a second and just kind of, I'd like to think that I'm a good example of someone that, you know what, I'm glad it went the way it did and all those companies didn't hire me, but with the aptitude I ended up finding out I had with growing businesses, man, they lost out.
Yeah.
And I'm glad. And I'm an ex-convict. And I got felonies, you know? And you stereotyped me. And because of that, you lost out. You lost out on a really good employee, which I'm glad I don't have to call myself. And you probably, and you missed out. Yeah, you know? And you missed out on a solid friend.
And I think that's the truth for even if not in corporations or businesses, is when we don't listen to somebody's story, when we immediately stereotype them, we miss out too. We miss out on a friend. We miss out on learning and growing and having our lives enriched by somebody who has had a life experience that's different than ours, who has gone through something. And in our case, if we as a church had been like, no, we don't want an ex-convict to come help us, you know, like, and with SEO, we would have missed out. Like, you have like transformed our SEO as a church, and it's really, really cool to see your heart for that. And so that's just our opportunity. And a reminder is like, when you have an opportunity to listen to somebody's story who's different than you, maybe they've been imprisoned, you miss out when you decide not to, when you say, no, the stereotypes must be true and I'm not going to listen beyond that, when I'm not going to cross that line today, then you miss out. And I love that, what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Yeah. I foresee my prophetic vision. I foresee you coming on again. I don't know when, but I'd love to talk about homeless ministry and people without homes. So I'd love to talk that more with you because I know that's a huge passion of yours, and I'd love to bring somebody on too. So that's it for today. But before you go, listeners, please consider giving us a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. That would be awesome. We believe strongly in what we are doing here at Beyond the Lines and in loving Beyond Their Lines and listening Beyond Their Lines, and would love for more people to be able to find us to join that movement of listeners. By giving us a review, you can be a part of that, and you can be a part of our movement. So also share this episode with people you think really need to hear it, or maybe just like podcasts, and this could be a good addition to their podcast library. So go ahead and share this podcast and our whole podcast in general. If you're on YouTube, I forgot to ask you to comment, but I'd love to hear you commenting about your thoughts and what you've learned today. And so do that and give us a like, because that helps out. We record here at Central Christian Church in Arizona. Our community here is pursuing the mantra of love beyond, which calls us to empathize with people who are different and build bridges of peace. If you're interested at all learning more about Central Christian Church in Phoenix, Arizona, check us out at centralaz.com. We have online services as well as a bunch of great campuses in the Phoenix metro area if you're local. We'll see you at next time's episode of Beyond the Lines. Until then, start loving beyond your lines. Thank you.